Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. My name is John Kircher, and I will be your host today. Autism and Scouting Radio is part of the Autism and Scouting program, and this program is brought to you by Autism Empowerment. To get more information about both Autism Empowerment and Autism Scouting, after the broadcast, please visit us at www.autismempowerment.org. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and a whole variety of different social media. If you're interested in upcoming broadcasts or listening to any of the previous broadcasts in archive or podcasts, we will have those available on the website as well. I wanted to first thank Autism Empowerment's Executive Director, Karen Kircher, who hosted our two-year anniversary show last Thursday. She did a great job hosting that, and I guess I was the guest, so thank you to me as well. Just kidding. Also, just a quick reminder that you can now listen to Autism Scouting and Autism Empowerment radio shows both at blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes. So if you missed any of the shows, you can tune in there. Today we have a really, really neat guest coming to Autism and Scouting Radio, who you'll quickly find out is an amazing scout leader, and like our friends Sean Williams, Tony May, and so many others, is really a true visionary in the scouting world. Her name is Karen Mansfield. While doing my research binges on special needs scouting, I came across the BSA's Denver Area Council's webpage on special needs scouting. The page is filled with a lot of good information, tips, with working with scouts with special needs, but what really caught my attention was at the very bottom of the page. It stated that the council offers Troop 5280, which has been designed to help boys with special needs learn their basic scouting skills and then acclimate them into a traditional scouting unit. I was really intrigued about this, and so I'm like, what is this? Because I hadn't heard about any other type of unit out there. I've heard of typical units, special needs units, but nothing like a transitional unit. And then I was thinking to myself, did I really find the best-kept secret in all of Boy Scouting, or did I really find the missing link in the scouting evolution? There was a link and a name that was associated, so I clicked on the information. I brought up a page, and after reading it, I really kind of do feel it was the best-kept secret in scouting and also is the missing link between acclimating boys and girls, actually boys, within the scouting program from a Cub Scouting or who have not had scouting program into mainstream scouting. Karen has over 10 years of scouting experience. She's won multiple awards. She's held positions both at the unit, the district, the council, and at national level. She's just, from what I found, just an incredible scouter. So let's just go ahead and get her on, and let's talk about this unit that she put together. Welcome, Karen.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Oh, how are you doing today? How's it in Denver?
I am doing fantastic. It's always a good day to talk about scouting.
Absolutely. I truly mean it. When I was like, did I really find the missing link? And I think I have. And it's your unit.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, it's an idea that came about, and we just have proceeded to grow within all of that, and we couldn't believe that this wasn't something that was out there previously. And Denver Area Council seems to have, and started many years ago, this vision of inclusion. that has been such a positive thing, and I think the boys and girls as they get older in our council have really been able to see how Denver is forward thinking in these areas.
Now, step back just a little bit. A lot of scouters have like special interests in themselves beyond scouting themselves.
Right.
You know, some really focus now on the science aspect of it. Some really are towing the hiking. There's others that I've come across that are really into the special needs scouting. What kind of drew you to that?
Well, my youngest son especially is on the autism scale. Both my boys have their own set of special needs, but my youngest especially struggled very hard, not just in school, but in any social aspect, as you know, anyone on the the autism scale will. Not just the social aspect of scouting was a challenge for him, but just keeping up after Cub Scouts of being able to advance or earn a merit badge was very difficult for him because it seemed to be so black and white. There was no color there of where he could go. And, you know, and these kids think so black and white on the autism scale anyway that it's hard for them to see color. So you have to have that advocate out there, whether it be your parent or a leader or someone, that can advocate for these kids and say, hey, you can do it. This is how we're going to help you and how you're going to do it. And you're going to have great self-esteem and you're going to have all this self-worth and accomplishment because you can do it. Don't let anybody tell you you can't.
Absolutely. Now, you actually first started in Cub Scouts, and you founded PAC 783. Was that a special needs unit, or was that a typical developing unit?
No, that was not. We were living in a brand-new area that they needed to expand to get another PAC in that area, and I just happened to have a brand-new Tiger Cub coming in. And we went to the meeting, and it was one of those, you know, that's how everybody starts in scouting. Somebody gets you, you know, for whatever
reason.
Only
1 hour a week, right?
Only that 1 hour a week, ha, ha, ha. And, you know, and I knew mine would probably be 2 hours because I was going to start the pack, and I was going to be committee chair, and there was going to be some cub mastering responsibilities because the cub master we originally had traveled a lot, so I kind of wore multiple hats in that capacity as well. But, you know, Cub Scouts is do your best. That's your motto, the Cub Scout motto, do your best. When you get a child in a pack, whether it be a special needs child or not, you just want them to do your best. You're trying to grow those and teach them those wonderful things of self-worth, self-esteem, importance, learning new things, and having fun, one the most important. And what is a pack but be able to do that? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Continue.
Oh, so when we started thinking about Troop 5280, well, do we want to start with a pack or do we want to start with a troop? What do we want to do? Well, you know, do your best and have fun. That's a pack. And there should be that anyway, whether you're a special needs child or not. That should always already be in place in a pack, if you're doing it right. So we kind of looked towards the troop aspect of it because there was so much more and so much more work these young men have to do in order to advance and earn merit badges and things.
Oh, absolutely. So 52. When your son was about ready to transition, you were looking to transition him into a traditional unit, but then the structure wasn't necessarily there.
Yes.
So that, okay.
Yeah.
My oldest son
had no issues. My oldest son was fine. He had some of the social issues, but that he had other things going on in the background that contributed to that. But when my youngest son, the one on the autism scale, transitioned into a traditional unit, he had so many problems because he just couldn't get it. He couldn't get the social. He couldn't understand the learning curve. He just, you know, he had so much assistance with his IEP and everything in school that he couldn't get it to be able to do it on his own for merit badges and advancement on his own. So Denver was very forward-thinking again, and about 7 or 8 years ago decided that they were going to be forward-thinking. They were going to get together a special needs district, and that's all it was. That's all that they did was the special needs district. And they had, we had people from every district of our 7 districts in Denver. We had someone from each district that had passion for special needs in the special needs district. So all of us were liaisons back to our district. And it started out, go ahead.
No, that's a different concept, because a lot of times, a lot of the councils will have like a special needs committee, and then the committee is like one or two people or maybe three people, and they just basically work through for the whole council. But this model of a district where people are reporting back to the district and then going back to their own districts is a very unique model, it sounds like, in and of itself.
It is. Like I said, Denver was very forward-thinking. I have so much respect for who our scout executive was, and our council commissioner was very adamant about making sure that Denver was out there. We were doing something about it, that inclusion was not just something that was thought about. It was something that was done. And Mr. Blair was instrumental in making sure that he made sure that Denver was that instrument, that we were forward-thinking. And with that came the special needs district. And we worked a lot in those first couple of years. We worked with Denver Options, which is a nonprofit organization here in Denver that works with special needs youth and adults and gets them into the workforce and gets them the opportunities that they need to be able to grow and thrive. And Denver Options was on board with the Denver Area Council, and so was the Denver Public Schools. What we worked with at first in those first years, so that we partnered with these, with Denver Options and DPS, was a lot of the older kids. We got them involved in a lot of the exploring posts and giving them opportunities after high school of what they could do. And Lori from Denver Options, who's turned out to be just a godsend, she's such an angel and a friend, her and I went to lunch one day, and as we were sitting at lunch, we were supposed to be discussing all these different aspects of how the Denver Area Council and Denver Options could work more closely together. And I said, you know, what would be neat is to have a troop of these kids that we could get together. And she said, well, tell me more about that. And I said, well, this is what Boy Scouting is about. I said, but a lot of these kids get, as you know, working with special needs kids, get very frustrated, and their parents get frustrated because they just can't seem to keep up. She says, she pulled out a napkin, and I pulled out a napkin. She goes, let's talk about this in more depth. And we just started ticking off bullet points as to what would this troop really be? Did we really want it to be a just a plain special needs troop where that's where these kids stayed? And her feeling and my feeling was no. There's no reason why these kids can't be in a traditional unit. They just needed a little accommodation, a little help to get there. They needed to know about Boy Scouts, first of all, because a lot of them have never been involved. A lot of them had never even been involved in any kind of a group activity of any sort, except maybe a special needs sporting type thing like Special Olympics or baseball or whatever it may be. So her and I took our napkins and we went into our next meeting and said, what do you guys think about this idea? And Mr. Blair said, I like it. I would like to see you guys put it into a proposal. And then I would like to see you guys present it to the chief executive and everyone else in the board, and let's see what they say. So right away, Laurie and I were just back and forth, getting this proposal together, how Denver Options would charter the unit. They would give us whatever we needed, and we went from there. And that's how we started. And we were very sincere about not wanting this to be just a traditional special needs unit, because that's not what these kids need. These kids aren't going to be with just special needs kids their entire life. They're going to be integrated and be a part of the world and part of society.
Be part of society.
That's right. And not everybody in society has a special need.
Right.
So, you know, we have to look past the special needs of these kids as to what they're really capable of doing, because they are capable of doing everything that any traditional child is capable of doing. They just may need to go about it differently.
Now, explain, so you take kids that are either coming with special needs, either from Cub Scouts or that have no experience before in scouting. You bring them into the troop, and then you put them obviously in patrols, using the patrol method and all of that.
We try to do the patrol method. At this point, we have 12 boys. We're all just one big patrol.
Okay.
They pick their patrol animal. We've done patrol chants. We have a flag, and those kinds of things. We have a senior patrol leader. We have an assistant senior patrol leader, and we have someone who helps with quartermastering, and we have someone who tries to help out with our historian as well as our chaplain's aide. We try to get these boys, all of them, to have some sort of leadership role, no matter what it may be. I may have to make up a leadership role for somebody just so that they're a part of it.
Right. So that they don't feel left out and they're
Correct.
Right.
And they're getting that growing feeling of self-worth and self-importance. And I think that's, you know, for anybody, whether you're a child or not, you want that feeling of I'm accomplishing something, I'm important. And that's what we try to give these boys.
About how long is a boy in the troop before they're transitioned out into a traditional unit?
Well, we work very closely with the Special Needs District in Denver. And one of the things on our proposal was we did not want any of these boys to transition into a traditional unit until those leaders were trained in that traditional unit on how to work with special needs youth. Denver right now is in the finishing stages of coming up with a special needs training to give our adult leaders, whether you're a Cub leader all the way on up. And we wanted these leaders to take special needs training. So none of our boys transition into a unit until their unit has had special needs training. And they understand what may come up having a special needs child, whether it be Down syndrome or autism or traumatic brain or whatever it may be. So we've had... we've done a few of these trainings in the units that our boys have transitioned into. We've made sure that those leaders have had no excuses, have had this special needs training.
Is there any type of like when a boy gets to a certain rank, then you start looking for a unit for them, or what determines when they're I'm sure
ready.
It's very individual, but how does that work?
Well, I always want to make sure, you know, scout rank is very simple. As far as the ranks go, you know, that's the easiest one. I like to make sure they were at least tenderfoot. It's our troop over the last 5-6 years has really blossomed and changed. We have some boys that want to transition, so we work very hard in making sure that happens. We have some boys that could care less about transitioning, that they're very comfortable in our troop, that we don't push necessarily after tenderfoot. We don't push any kind of rank advancement necessarily unless they want to. We found these boys, in working with them for as long as we have, they're just interested in the whole aspect of fun. They're interested in trying things they've never, ever done before. They're interested in the camping and the hiking and the merit badges. And these boys earned the the horsemanship merit badge about 2 years ago. And let me tell you, since then we've been to camp a few times. I had some boys with this merit badge that wouldn't even get near a horse. I mean, wouldn't even go up to pet the horse. We just came back from camp a couple weeks ago, about in July, and every single one of those boys, not only did they get up and pet the horse and groom the horse, they rode the horse for a half hour and were excited. The smiles on their faces and the things that, how far they've come in just a few years of things they've never done before, they never had the opportunity to do before. That's what makes the smile on my face. That's what makes the smile on the assistant scoutmasters in our unit's faces. We just love to see these boys feel good about themselves, and that's really what it's about. Whether they want to transition at this point, that's certainly up to them. But we've changed a little bit in that we do allow the boys to stay if that's what they feel they want to do.
Excellent. Because a lot of times it's not necessarily the rank that's really the important part or the big accomplishment. It's the overcoming some type of fear, overcoming some type of anxiety. That is a lot of times a bigger achievement than reaching, say, Eagle or whatnot.
Exactly. Now, we did just have our very first Eagle Scout. I went to his Court of Honor on the 10th of September. He started with me when the Ricky Newell started with me when our troop first started. Excuse me, my doorbell just rang and my dog is now going to go crazy. I apologize.
That's okay.
He started with me when the troop first started. He was one of the very first ones. I had two boys transition that very first year, and he went into a troop. They did all their training. He transitioned into this unit and did absolutely fantastically. Now he is the first Eagle Scout from Troop 5280. So it does happen. We do rank advance. We do transition. We do a lot. These boys are just amazing. What a well-rounded young man he is, too, having had started not knowing he could. You know, not knowing he could do this, he can do this. We just needed to find a way to make it happen.
That's phenomenal. As far as other things that you do within the troop, it sounds like you do traditional type of camping and hiking.
Yes.
And what about, do you work on social skills at all?
We do. You know, our troop is very safe for these boys. They don't have to worry about being teased. They don't have to worry about being bullied. They don't have to worry about having to keep it together. You know as well as I do with children on this autistic scale, they work so hard to keep it together during school. They keep it so hard to keep their mind focused so that they can do what they need to do in school, that they can't, they have a hard time being themselves because they're misunderstood for being kids, first of all, but just in the whole realm of the special need, whatever it may be. In our troop, they come in, and we had a young man that first started that had some Tourette symptoms. His mother, through the whole meeting, as the child was, you know, speaking out and saying things and how the Tourette syndrome goes, this is just apologizing. I'm sorry. I said, wait a second, time out. I said, this isn't a place to apologize. This isn't a place for you to apologize for your children. This isn't a place for your children to apologize. This is a place where they can come and they can let it hang out. They can be themselves. I don't want to hear apologies for who they are, because this is who they are.
Absolutely. It's such a relief for the parents as well. I mean, because a lot of the kids are going back between school, therapy, doctor's appointments. They just don't have time and chances to just be kids.
That's right, and this is where they get to do that. This is where they get to actually have fun, and they get to learn something in the process, and they don't have to learn at a rate that is typical of any school system, they're learning at a rate that is going to be accommodating for them. So a merit badge that may take a month to do in a traditional unit may take us 2.5-3 months to do, because we are going on a pace that is best set by the boys, not by us, not by any book or anything else. We're going at a pace that we make sure we keep all the boys involved and in as part of it that they are able to do. If we start noticing we're losing somebody, okay, we're going to stop for now. We're going to take a 10-minute break. We're going to get up. We're going to walk around. We're going to go get a drink of water, and then we're going to come back, and let's see if you guys are engaged again. That's the way it works, because that's the way their minds work. For whatever disability it may be, I don't have just autism spectrum in my troop. I have Down syndrome. I have traumatic brain. I have whatever it may be. And these boys all learn differently, even within their disability.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just nice to be able to have them learn at their own pace.
That's right.
And not feel the pressure of, oh, I need to rank or you know, advance or whatnot.
That was one of our goals in making this trip happen. Was Lori and I said, you know, these boys have to be comfortable with what they're doing, and they need to do it at their own right. They're rushed through enough because of their IEP and everything else with school. This needs to be something on their terms.
We're going to have you back next week, which is just such a pleasure, and we're actually going to be talking specifically about rank advancement, and I think that'll be really fun. We have about 3 minutes left. So just want people to let you know, Karen's going to come back. We're going to talk about rank advancement. What we were talking about right before the air was the difference between accommodation and modification. And I think that will be very interesting for a lot of folks out there. I want to give you the last 2 minutes. This is your stage to kind of tell about anything else you want to tell about your troop or anything else that's going on in the Denver area.
Well, I'll tell you, like I said, the Denver area has been so forward-thinking in how special needs in inclusion. I can't say that word enough, the inclusion of everybody. You know, you have that Scoutmaster's Minute at the end of every troop meeting, and there's always room for one more. There's always room for one more, and there is. And that one more shouldn't be dictated as to whether it's a traditional student or not. Always room for one more means anyone, and that means inclusion, and that means people need to think outside the box sometimes as a leader, and they also need to be trained and understand and knowledgeable and educated to understand that it's not scary to have a special needs youth in your unit. Because I guarantee no matter what unit you are a part of, you have special needs kids in that unit, whether they have been diagnosed or not, whether it be ADHD, whether it be, you know, a learning disability, a behavioral disability, whatever it may be, you have special needs kids already. And those kids have just as much of a right to be a part of this group and having fun and learning than any other child in the world. So let's make it so that we're not so scared as adults. And because if we are, guess what? The rest of the people, the kids as well in your unit, are going to be pick up on that. So let's be open and inclusive, and let's get some education for ourselves in our unit. Let's get some knowledge out there that it's not scary. There's nothing scary about these kids. What they do is just like anything any other of your kids in your unit will do. They just may need to do it a little slower, a little different, think outside the box, whatever it may be. But they can do anything anyone else can do, whether it's in a wheelchair or not, whether it's a mental disability or not, a learning disability or not. They are one and the same.
That is awesome advice. I just want to, again, thank you, Karen, for coming on. I totally believe that your troop is definitely one of the best-kept secrets in all of Boy Scouting. It's definitely a link that really needs to be replicated all across the country. So I want to thank you again, and we will talk to you next week.
I look forward to it. Thanks, John.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.